Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wise for us to have protests that exude so much aggression towards law enforcement in this moment.
And then last thing, Myra Metcalf, who is a black college sports reporter for ESPN, he's going to be on 92.9 this afternoon with Gary Parrish at 4:25. He was actually on Golic and Wingo today and speaking about sort of what's going on in the nation now. His point was that we can't put this up like Christmas lights and take it down because we decided to move on to something else, basically saying that we have to keep George Floyd as the headline and not get distracted. I mean, is that something that, with you know, every protest, every march that you're focused on and trying to keep relevant?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I said yesterday that George Floyd's name should be the center of this and no one else's, not even mine.
Yeah. Devontae, man, this was this was really good stuff, man, and we appreciate what you're doing, and thank you for the time.
Thank you, my friend.
He is Devontae Hill, pastor, activist. Down there in downtown Memphis, who's taken a sort of a leading role in all of this. So
no question, he's been on the front lines.
Yeah, really appreciate his time.
That same faith that he has that we can get through it. I think you and I both share it.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
You know, because you have to at this point. You can get stuck in we can't, and that's when you get stuck is where the rage builds up. You have to believe it can be better. And that's the impetus. That belief is the impetus for change.
Well, I
that's
truly
how we're
do
all going to get there.
I mean, I really do believe. I have a pretty unshakable faith when it comes to the future of this country. Maybe that's crazy, but you know, I talk to my wife every day. Can you believe it? Me and my wife talk every single day, and I look at her, and you know, she said yesterday that she wanted to get out. She wanted to be a part of the protests. And I think about my friends, and I think about sort of the young people that I know. And it gives me hope. It gives me hope that we don't have those ways of thinking, you know, now maybe my circle is not representative. I don't know. But I think, you know, I am unbelievably optimistic that, you know, when we look up in this country in 15 years, in 20 years, maybe even sooner, I don't know. I believe we will be much closer where we want to be. And I think today and where we are as a country today is going to be a huge reason why.
Well, I think to me the most, all of it, you see some of it and you shake your head. But the thing I think that the encouraging thing, besides having that faith, is seeing how young, right, how this has, you know, it's stopped young folks in their tracks, and they want different. Like if you look around and whether it was Memphis, whether it was California, no matter where you were, if you look around, a lot, maybe even the majority of the protesters were young, and we were talking about last week how we get it changed for our little guy, our son, our daughters, all that kind of. But it's great to see these teenagers, 20-year-olds, college students picking up the torch and being and saying it's going to start right here. We saw that all weekend long, because again, John, if they're not moved, right, and I saw people calling each other, we're the gap, we're the bridge gap, you know, we're the thing that's going to get us to the other side, and the generations after us understanding, you know, the fact that you've got them on fire, that's how we can get this thing changed, because again, it's the next generations, and those folks were on, you know, those folks were. You know, they're inspired, and they were out there in full force here in Memphis and all over the country.
Much like anything else,
young people moved, man.
There are a couple, I guess, things that could derail this, but I certainly think one of the biggest things and one of the biggest threats of derailing this is misinformation. and damaging misinformation, like propaganda is what I'm really saying. Like there was a post going around last night on Facebook. There were two posts that I want to touch on really quickly. One post was allegedly a Walmart in Memphis. They said it was the Riley LaGrange Walmart, and it had been destroyed and looted and things like that. To try to sow the seeds of mistrust and things like that. And the Walmart manager of that particular location came out and said, "This is not my store. This did not happen here." So that's one, right? And you could see where that would sort of try to stoke the flames of fear. The second one is there was a post, I don't know if you heard about it, but apparently some group from Atlanta was coming up to Memphis yesterday, and they were going to destroy Saddle Creek in Germantown. And so Lululemon's boarded up. The Apple store is boarded up. The Apple store might have been closed already. I don't know because of COVID. But that's another – people are – you know, you try to scare people, you know, with misinformation. I think that's one thing that could derail. You know, we have to make very sure that what we're reading and what we're sharing is true.
Right.
You know, like I think it's more important, Jason, than ever before, you know. Think about the election in 2016, a lot of fake stuff was going around. COVID, a lot of fake stuff was going around. But this is such an important thing that we have to be very sure that we trust who we're getting it from, you know.
Yeah, make sure it's real before you retweet it.
Yeah, because there are people out there who don't know better, you know.
Right.
I mean, there just are.
Well, or falsely using, you know, clips of stuff to gas folks up and say, well, look at this part, and again, to distort the message. Which you know is what those folks in power I think ultimately want. We're hoping this will change enough minds of those folks in power that we actually get some real change. Again, get so tired of just seeing the rhetoric. And again, I'll go back to that's why I appreciate the statement from the Grizzlies. They're talking about things they can do and ways they can build on some of the foundation they've already laid, rather than just we know it's wrong. We won't be part of it continuing. You know, again, it's we're past the time for rhetoric. It's about time for all of us to speak up and say what we're going to do. That's how we get it changed. Saw a lot of that over the weekend, and that's you know, the good parts of it were the best, the most encouraging. So many young folks, you know, ready to do whatever it takes, you know, to get this change. It's been you had to acknowledge it first, and the way it's hit so mainstream right now, you feel like it is.
Yep.
Because this ain't just one city that's lit. You know. That's angry. You know, it's an entire country. So hopefully that's, again, the impetus for some real change.
Yeah. Jason Fitz is going to join us at 12:25. We'll talk to him about this topic and more. Jason and John, 92 FM, ESPN.
The Mid-South's number one for sports. WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis. On the radio.com live and rewind anytime. Smart speakers just say play 92.9 ESPN.
Meet Chuck. Now, meet Chuck's personal information.
Hello.
Made up of things like account logins, bank info, and Chuck's social security number. Whenever Chuck shops, banks, and browses online, his info travels all over the world.
Bonjour. Ni hao. Privyet.
Exposing it to cyber threats.
Well, that's no good.
So how is Chuck able to sleep? Because he knows Norton and LifeLock are now part of one company. Norton 360 with LifeLock provides an all-in-one membership for your cyber safety that gives you device security, identity theft protection, a VPN for online privacy, and more. No one can prevent all cybercrime and identity theft, but Norton 360 with LifeLock is your ally in today's connected world.
That's a relief, right, Chuck? I think that's a yes.
Sign up today for Norton 360 with LifeLock and save 25% or more off your first year by going to norton.com/news. That's norton.com/news for 25% off.
This is Gary Parrish reminding you that Mercedes-Benz of Memphis remains open with all the great Mercedes in stock, new and used. It's located 5389 Poplin. Right now, they're offering deferred payments. Yep, Mercedes-Benz of Memphis has a 90-day deferred payment plan. So check the inventory at mbofmemphis.com. Memphis is known for its barbecue, but only one Memphis area restaurant actually serves world championship barbecue, and this is Gary Parrish reminding you that it's Memphis Barbecue Company, which has reopened at 50% capacity. They've instituted sanitation procedures greater than what the CDC and health department require, including a three-step approach to sanitizing tables so you can get back inside right now. So go order online at memphisbbqco.com.
92.9 FM, ESPN, Radio.com, and our Entercom Memphis group are helping move Memphis forward. Grit, grit, determination, determination. We know you are a business leader, a community leader, and someone with a story of compassion and tenacity. Together, we can move Memphis forward. Tell us your positive business news and share your story of moving Memphis forward at 92.9ESPN.com. That's 92.9ESPN.com through the Move Memphis Forward link.
Ride with the country's number one auto insurer, State Farm. I'm Kathy Thurman Edwards, the agent on Brookhaven Circle, with a big shout out to my awesome team now licensed in Arkansas, Mississippi, and Tennessee. Call or text 901-767-7744. We're still all better looking than a lizard.
Frontier Western Store is open and ready to serve you for all your needs in boots, apparel, pet food, and more. Frontier is proud to be a local leader here in the Mid-South when it comes to boots. Stop by the store today for an incredible selection of name brand work and dress boots. Come browse aisles and aisles of top quality boots at everyday low prices in their world-famous boot showroom. Dan Post, Rocky, Durango, Twisted X, Georgia, Ariat, and many more. There's so many styles, colors, and fits available, you might need a hand picking out your favorites. Luckily, Frontier's knowledgeable sales staff will cheerfully assist you with any questions you have and ensure the proper fit of your new boots. Frontier also has an amazing selection of jeans and shirts by Wrangler, Ariat, and Carhartt, as well as a fully stocked women's boutique department with thousands of tops and dresses at unbelievable prices. New arrivals often. Frontier Western Store, 5880 Goodman Road in Olive Branch, and on the web at frontierwesternstore.com. Family owned and operated since 1967.
Jason and John Guest appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN, and every day around this time we do the rundown. Let's do it.
Now, it's the rundown. The biggest stories from Jason and John. Everything y'all need on 92.9 FM, ESPN. First story.
There was one casualty over the weekend in Memphis, and that was Peter Fleischer, because he was reporting. I'm half kidding. I'm actually totally kidding. But he was reporting downtown this weekend, and he became a victim of checking. It was quite the scene. He was reporting live, I guess, and a crowd of folks. And we have to talk about this. I mean, this is what we have to be honest and genuine and be ourselves and be true to ourselves. And this is a story that we cannot run from, Jason. We have to tackle this thing head on. Peter Fleischer got checked. He got roasted. He got flamed up, as the kids say.
That was just more than just your average MCS, now SCS, you know.
Yeah, there was some venom there.
Check and shake down there.
There was some venom there. And we can't play it, unfortunately, because it's profanity-laced. But, you know, he got everything from Brendan Fraser to Tom Hanks. You know,
I ain't going to lie to you. It started out, I'm laughing, but then, get about the middle of it, and that camera goes into Fleischer's eyes, and I can't lie to you. It almost felt like a nightmare. You know what I'm saying? In terms of feared,
yeah.
At least those of us growing up in Memphis that know what checking is and when you could get a whole classroom of folks on you.
Yeah.
And it was nightmarish. You have the nightmare where you wake up, you're naked. I don't know why y'all have that freaky nightmare, but you wake up naked in school or whatever else. Some of us have the nightmare of just getting torn up in Memphis City schools.
Yeah.
And I've had that nightmare before because I was a victim. Now, never to that degree, though. And that's the part of it, like, it just kept – how many folks do you think were checking him?
Probably about five or six.
And when you get him – you guys know because we've done the check sessions here on the show, albeit, you know, much less vicious.
Well, yeah, you don't see, like, the live reaction of the victim.
But part of that – well, there's that and there's the – you want to fire off as many as you can in a certain – right? In a That's part of checking. You fire off a ton of them. So when you got five guys doing it and they're going, you know, 30 checks in 1 minute, man, it can get heavy duty. And so I won't lie to you, as that video progressed and that video got closer into flashes, I felt for the brother because it was like, man, I've had that nightmare before. I'm just glad he got out of there safe, brother.
Yeah.
Chris Luther last night, WMC, they focused all over.
Now, if it had been me, I'd have
turn that camera off and throw it back to the studio.
If it had been me, I would have taken the mask off and I would have had to start checking back, man. I would have had to. You know, you got to. You got to get. Now, that's how you earn respect. Is you start.
See, it wasn't about respect that night.
No, man.
I'm just saying. I don't even know, John. Are you like seriously, man?
Would I have started checking back?
Somebody might not have wanted to hear it.
Oh, stop. It's checking, okay? It's checking. When you check somebody.
Bro, tensions are still high, is my point. And you start firing back, right?
Well,
somebody might not want to hear it.
I would at least laugh.
What happened in this next story I'm going to tell might have happened. You never know. That's what I'm saying. You would laugh and try to play it off, but what if they don't want to laugh?
Well, I mean, isn't checking supposed to be comedy? I mean, isn't that what it's supposed to be about? It's supposed to be making people laugh, roast somebody. That's fun games. You know? I mean, I guess if I mean,
bro,
it could have escalated, but.
You know, I don't know if that's the way to add. John, I'm not sure he had another choice.
Yeah.
What, he going to break into a checking session?
I mean, you think
that's going to get him out of there?
Well, was he in danger?
I'm saying these are crazy times. I won't go that far. He looked like he got out of there just fine. But, yeah, I mean, these are crazy times. Tensions are running high.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, I felt for the brother. Flasher got lit.
Well, listen, we've all been there at some point or another. I mean,
yeah, but again, to not that degree, never that hot.
Well, no, it definitely, you know, it is really embarrassing, you know, when you're the subject, you know, of an entire collective, you know. But we've all been there, man. I sympathize and I empathize, but
I'm happy.
You got to pick yourself up, man.
I'll put it this way. We saw some news reporters get, you know, get ambushed, actually physically out here.
Now, that's a different story.
All over the country. So I'm thankful Memphis, our version of it was checking, right, rather than actually, you know, ambushing these reporters who –
they're not the enemy, right?
They are out here doing. How in the hell is the reporter the enemy? They need to see what's going on, right? So we can beam it. Now the hope is again that you can get some positive in there and mix as much real positive that's going on out here.
Right.
Again, you got some police marching with protesters. You know, frame that as much as you do the negative. That'd be the ideal thing if you could. That said, reporters are just out here trying to do their job, trying to document
right.
this, and don't we need it documented?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, the reporters are the conduits,
and we could get to the whole where journalism is and how it's been devalued, and people don't. And we needed journalism over this weekend to see this. And
precisely.
Again, we did, and we need those folks. I mean, we got folks that are furloughed for a week. We've had
no
folks
doubt.
That are laid off, and you know, and that want to get back to do the job to report. Because they are the watchdogs. It's what we've always said about journalism. You're the watchdog for society. And so, again, they're just out there doing their gig, their job. I'm glad in Memphis, at least, the get back was a little bit of checking rather than, you know, attacking whole crews. Because I saw some crews get attacked, man. It's like, Lord, have mercy.
The Birmingham folks, I mean, that dude got his ass beat. I mean, he just... I don't know what the circumstances that led up to it were.
Well, there's that, and it's coming from cops, too, on some. Cops have hit some of these reporters with rubber bullets.
Yeah.
Now, some of these reporters got to, you know, you thinking, you standing out there, that those bullets aren't going to hit you and just hit the people behind you. But I saw last night up in D.C., there's a reporter talking to Cuomo. He's in D.C. He's in the middle of it. And one protester says, hey, stop being in the middle of this and go up to the front. Rather than having us taking these rubber bullets, right, and all this, you know, tear gas or whatever, how about you guys go to the front so you can really see it? But his point was, so we're not just taking it for you. But it got tense there for a few minutes where they were saying, go to the front. Like, they started chanting on this guy, and they're getting out. So, look, there's been some times where some of these reporters have been in some real hot water. I just tell you, take it easy on them. They're doing their jobs, and we need the story told right now. It's part of the acknowledgement that we've got a problem.
Right.
And again, to the journalists, you know, as much as you can, you know, we'd love to see as much, you know, the good things going out there too. Don't just amplify the bad.
Right.
Let us see both sides of it if we can. Again, that ain't telling you don't give us the bad when it's bad. But there's some good out here that's been ignored as well.
Yeah.
Next story.
I was telling you what might have happened to you if you had started checking in that group.
Well, I just feel like all is fair in love and checking.
Maybe you'd have ended up this guy. Did you see what J.R. Smith did over the weekend? Former Cleveland Cavaliers guard that you guys know. LeBron knows he's a fool when it comes to knowing how many timeouts there are. Yeah, you can go over to TMZ Sports right now. I'm curious on how you feel about this. There's video of him beating up a guy who allegedly damaged his truck during a protest in Los Angeles. I guess a protest that spilled over. You know, this was you could call this alleged protest to that point. Mm-hmm. But one that spilled over into some neighborhoods into a residential area at least. And his car was parked on the street, if I'm not mistaken. And Smith is seen kicking the man who's on the ground and then punching him when he gets up. Then the guy runs away. It's weird because it looks like what are friends of Smith's, this is not talked about in the story, but what are friends, guys that appear to be friends of Smith's, get in front of the video camera and like, hey, stop, give him his privacy, right? Basically give him his right to whoop this guy's tail. Mm-hmm. And again, Smith, I'll just read his quote. This ain't no hate crime. This wasn't beating up a guy, he says, because he was white. I got no problem with nobody who ain't got no problem with me. It's a problem with the MFing system. That's it. And his problem was with, again, and then you hope he got the right guy, his problem was with this gentleman breaking his car window on it. What did you think of it, man? Because it got pretty graphic.
Yeah,
like
no.
Like kids down and JR still kicking them.
I think when somebody...
When you mess with your stuff, though, right?
Well, okay, so I think when somebody goes to the ground, that should be it. Like, you should not kick people when they're on the ground. Like, that's not... That there's nothing... Like, okay, like, if you want to exact... You know, revenge, and you want to, you know, take it out on the guy, and you want to fire on him and hit him in the jaw. I mean, take that. I mean, that's between you and God. But when he goes to the ground, it's over. The altercation should be over at that point. Regardless, you've done enough to, you know, basically apprehend him, to incapacitate him. It should be over. I mean, that's extra. You know, that's unnecessary to me.
I wonder how much rage he had in him because of what we're going.
Oh,
you know, how much of it was you broke my car? How much of it was what we're going through?
I definitely don't. It has to be. We're human. You know, we all feel that.
I guess I would echo your sentiments, and I would have liked to see JR hold up a little bit after he got him. But you go messing with another man's stuff at this point. I mean, there's, you know, if this kid had known there are repercussions, or if somebody was watching him, would he have done it, John? Would he have broke the glass in the first place? Probably not. He'd say,
right.
He'd say, no, that I'm gonna get punished afterwards. So I'm with you on to the degree, right? JR clearly had the advantage. The kid was on the ground, whatever else. Point is, I guess if you're making JR's point, is, hey, don't do it again. Here's that whooping. And you'd like to see, you know, human nature tell you to hold up. But I tell you too, though, you can't mess with a guy's stuff like this and not expect an ass whooping to come if he's watching you.
I mean, especially, he's kicking him in the face, you know. I mean, that's...
It was just... more the punch in the face after he got up was the one that looked like it connected. I don't know how much of that stuff while he was down, actually. I mean, the kid was good enough to get up and walk away, John. It wasn't like he left him out cold. But, I'm with you on it got a little graphic.
Right.
But again, hey, there's repercussions to everything we do. And in this case, you know, somebody's car you didn't know, you didn't think there would be any. Whoa, 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 it's a party. I'm going to go run down the street and break some more. No, he had another thought coming.
Well, look, you got to understand something, man. When you start talking about people's
property,
no doubt. I mean, you definitely open yourself up to getting your ass beat.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying,
like,
okay.
I mean, so I'm not.
So now we can direct on how the ass beating that comes. Like,
not saying that J.R. Smith should be charged at all. I am definitely not saying that. All I'm saying is, I just think from a discretionary standpoint, like, you ain't got to kick him while he's on the ground.
No,
you know?
On human nature, come out of you. It looked like the kid had had enough. No question about it. But again, how are you going to tell the degree of ass whipping? How can we tell that if we're telling him, hey, if you do that, you might catch one, especially if the guy's watching you?
I mean, but he did, man. I mean, that lick he got on him when he got back up, that was a good lick, you know?
Yeah, that was the one I thought was the big connection. That
was like a jab. It was like a right jab.
And the kid, frankly, the fact that he was still able to run off, I thought
he did run
off.
He probably was just running on a pure adrenaline at that point.
Because that one looked like it was going to
That's going to hurt the morning, I can promise you.
For the days most.
That is going to. I'm really a lover, man. You know, I've been in a handful of fights in my life. I typically just am a guy who I love. That's what I want to do. I want to give you a hug. I don't want to hit you in the face. I don't want you to hit me in the face. I just want to give you a hug. Like today, I told you, we started the show. I said, I love you. You know, let's just try to do more of that. Let's stop desecrating things. Let's stop defiling it. Let's stop messing with people's trucks. I mean, I just don't get it, man. I don't understand it.
Well, let's get some more rest in the Minneapolis deal, though. I think that would help.
Yeah,
Let's get some leadership from our president, things like that, too, as well, to help. I'm with you, John. I know what you were saying, and I appreciate it. I think it is part of it. Love is a huge part of this, but we're also looking for some leadership. There's no question about it. This country's, you know, let's get some justice. So let's get some more of that, too, to go with the love, and then maybe we really get to
it. Now, I will say this. If anybody does want to bash, like, my car.
Could they knock the bumper off for you?
We can use that thing like demolition derby, and then let me get the payout from the insurance.
You ain't gonna get anything now.
Why?
You've blown that.
No.
Because you're talking about it.
Oh, well, we'll destroy the tape.
Besides, that's.
I'm just saying, my car looks like Mad Max.
That idea was born in greed.
My car looks like Mad Max already. You know what I'm saying?
It does. I'll give you that.
So we can use it for powers of good, if we want. Just reach out. Let me know if you need it, and we can make some. I'm just kidding. But yes, it's a hell of a video. Hell of a right hand.
JR, man, the victim caught one, and
he did.
That's what comes when you're vandalizing folks' cars, I guess.
Especially
if it's coming from JR Smith, it's gonna be rough.
If somebody vandalized your Mazda, would you applaud as they did it? Like, would you watch and maybe get some popcorn? You know, would you enjoy it?
It's paid for.
Right.
So no, I wouldn't do that.
Oh, you would not enjoy it.
No, I wouldn't enjoy it. It's my A to B, John.
So would you punch somebody in the face if they do it though? Like where's the line? Like if somebody's, because I don't care enough about my car.
First off, I'm not in the shape that J.R. Smith is, so I probably can't track the dude down if he's doing it.
Okay.
But would I want to? Would I want to go grab him up? Or what am I supposed to turn the other cheek? When you beat up the Mazda?
I don't know.
They've been telling us to turn the other cheek for years.
No, I'm just saying I probably would turn the other cheek. I'd be like, all right, man, look, if you want to beat up the car, brother, you know, good luck. I mean, I've done.
We know why you say that.
I've done some damage to it myself, you know, a couple wrecks.
That was like, it's like Harvey on TMZ saying the other day, would you move into a building if you knew there was this a cockroach in it? Well, hell yeah, most of us are still going to move into the building. But for a guy like Harvey, who's got millions. Yeah. You just burn the damn thing down. You're not going to move into it. Can't see a roach.
Yeah.
For you, it's you can buy a whole new car.
Well, yeah.
I don't.
Ideally.
Yeah.
Ideally, I'd get financed.
That's my A to B, bro. That's my A to B. And if I can catch you, again, I probably don't have the strength to J.R. Smith you.
Yeah.
But I'm going to shake your ass up real good.
Okay. Well, there you have it. The gauntlet has been
laid
down. It's
going to be more than just some checking.
It's going to be more than some checking if you dare touch the Mazda, the 06 Mazda.
People can just do whatever you want to other people's property?
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, I don't really care about my car. I don't really care about it.
That was your point.
Yes.
Right.
And I see you still have deep feelings. You have some deep feelings for that.
This whole show's deep. But again, it's that because you can get another car.
Yeah.
Well, you can hold on tight to mine, bro.
You can too, but point taken. All right, we will come back. Jason Fitz is going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about his thoughts on what's going on in America. And maybe a little bit of NBA when we come back. Jason and John, 90.10 FM, ESPN. If you like pina coladas
and getting on the train. Spilled your pina colada? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills and messes quicker. And is 2 times more absorbent than the leading ordinary brand. So you can get back to getting caught in the rain. The quicker picker up.
Could your car use a spring cleaning? Now's the time to stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts for great deals on everything you need to keep your car looking new. Like Mother's California Gold Wash and Wax, just $4.99 for a 64-ounce bottle. That's a $6 savings. Or online at O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts. For the ones we trust to always be there. For the ones caring for others. For the ones who keep things going, no matter where they are. In extraordinary times, extraordinary people step up, like the ones standing guard and standing on the front lines. And the ones who are staying apart while still working together. With your efforts, we will get through this. We're grateful for all you do. Visit Grainger.com for resources that can help as you create your recovery plan. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It all starts with just one thing. Don't buy plastic toys for your pet. Look for either natural materials like cotton, rope, wood, or bamboo, or make toys out of old shirts, socks, or towels. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
Frontier Western Store is open and ready to serve you for all your needs in boots, apparel, pet food, and more. Frontier is proud to be a local leader here in the Mid-South when it comes to boots. Stop by the store today for an incredible selection of name brand work and dress boots. Come browse aisles and aisles of top quality boots at everyday low prices in their world-famous boot showroom. Dan Post, Rocky, Durango, Twisted X, Georgia, Ariat, and many more. There's so many styles, colors, and fits available, you might need a hand picking out your favorites. Luckily, Frontier's knowledgeable sales staff will cheerfully assist you with any questions you have and ensure the proper fit of your new boots. Frontier also has an amazing selection of jeans and shirts by Wrangler, Ariat, and Carhartt, as well as a fully stocked women's boutique department with thousands of tops and dresses at unbelievable prices. New arrivals often. Frontier Western Store, 5880 Goodman Road in Olive Branch, and on the web at frontierwesternstore.com. Family owned and operated since 1967.
I've always wanted to learn another language, but every time I try, it never sticks. So I decided to give Babbel a try, and I really like the teaching method of the app. I started with the beginner lesson on Babbel, and it starts with simple words and phrases, and soon you're putting those words into a conversation. Each lesson takes about 10 to 15 minutes, and they're all really different, which keeps things interesting. The app is really smart. It actually keeps track of the words I'm struggling with so I can practice them and get better. I chose Babbel because it was created by real language teachers. They built it around real life, how people actually communicate, and what they care about. I can't wait to use my new language skills in the real world. Dos cervezas, por favor.
With Babbel, get conversational in Spanish, French, German, and more. It just takes 10 to 15 minutes a day. Now try Babbel free. Just go to Babbel.com or download the Babbel app and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com. B-A-B-B-E-L.com.
I've worked hard to get where I am today, and I won't let anything keep me from moving forward. That's why I signed up for My City Rides. For just $90 a month, I can lease to own a brand new motor scooter that gets me to school, work, and anywhere else I want to go. That's cheaper than a car payment. My City Rides taught me how to ride safely, and if anything goes wrong with my scooter, they take care of it for me. No more waiting around for a ride. Now I can cruise where and when I want with the wind in my hair and the sun on my face. Get started at mycityrides.org.
Jason and John Guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Jason Fitz is a friend of the show. You can hear him every single day on ESPN Radio. First Take, Your Take. He's the man. He does it all, and he joins us. Now, Fitz, how you hanging in there, man?
Man, I'm hanging in good, you know. And for anybody that tuned in to First Take, Your Take today, I just want to be the first to let anybody know that doesn't know. I'm not on today. Stephen A. is on today, and that's not because I obviously don't want to talk about what's going on. It's because Stephen A. Wants to so much that, you know, he's Stephen A., and I'm not. So they're letting Stephen A. take First Take, Your Take today so that he can talk about what's going on in the country and get some things off his chest. And they could give him that platform for a couple hours. And I presume I'll be back tomorrow. We'll keep these tough conversations going. And I'm anxious to say some of what's on my mind, but Stephen A. is going to have that platform today.
Well, you know, I read the New York Post. I know they love you up there. I know the executives love them, some Jason Fitz, trust me. So don't look at this as any kind of indictment on your performance. But it is important, I think, to have diverse voices, you know, in any form. If you were on today, Fitz, what would you say about what you've seen, you know, in our country? Obviously, you know, sports franchises and coaches have spoken out, you know, more than ever before. Some statements much better than others. But what would you say if you were on today just about everything that we have witnessed in the United States of America the last few days?
You know, I think that if there's anything I've learned in the last week, I've always said that, you know, when I stand in front of a microphone, my job is to provide escapism, you know, and by providing escapism, whether I was playing the music or, you know, talking about sports, my hope is that when people come to listen to it, you can get away from everything that's going on. And I think I've learned that, you know, in and of itself. And, you know, I was talking to one of my peers that I love and respect a lot yesterday. And, you know, she said to me, she's like, you know, just the very principle of escapism is in and of itself privilege. And I think that this has been really eye-opening because let's be real, I'm a middle-aged white guy. I will never know what it feels like to be pulled over by the police and wonder what's going to happen next. I'll never know what it feels like to be doing normal things and not know if I'm going to be safe and secure. And, you know, I think what's hit me in the course of the last week is that we need to be having more conversations that aren't just, you know, African-Americans speaking on it, not just white people speaking about it. Like, we need to have more diverse conversations that aren't debates. ESPN's built on debates. Like, there are sometimes that you take the debating off and you have real conversations with people that you love and respect about what it is like to be black in America today. And if you have those conversations and you listen instead of trying to jump all over what they're saying or try and make any presumptions, if you just hear the pain in people's voices, I mean, if that doesn't charge you to want to change the way you approach your daily life, what does? And, you know, I keep walking away from it saying that we've got to demand better, be better, do better from ourselves, from the people in our immediate social circles. We've got to stop asking everybody else to fix this. And we've got to start looking at it as individuals, as human beings, and saying, how can I be better today? And if I can be better to the people in my social circle and demand that they're better to the people in their social circle, I believe that over time we can affect change. But it takes listening, it takes talking, it takes being real, it takes being embarrassed through some of these conversations, and it takes really coming in and saying, I'm not going to allow tone to be certain ways around me. I'm not going to allow people to be treated certain ways around me, and I'm not going to allow people in my life to do things I wouldn't be proud of.
Why does it feel, well said, Fitzy, why does it feel different this time? Why has it hit the mainstream the way it has, Fitzy? I mean, it feels different than Eric Garner. It feels different than Mike Brown. You know, it feels like, you know, maybe some of it's the, you know, there's no sports to go to, right, to get out of it. You've got to watch. But why has this, you know, hit the mainstream the way it has? There's, you know, it feels like talking about sports today, at least to lead off, seems a little silly.
You're right. And I think it's hit harder partially because there's no sports, partially because we're in quarantine. And, you know, that's the other part of it. I've talked to so many of my friends about, even about the rage that's come from it. I feel like the rage is even bigger because it's not again and it's happening again. But as beautifully, beautifully written by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in the LA Times, part of what we have to acknowledge right now is that even COVID-19 hit the African-American population harder than it hit everybody else. Because why? You know, lower profile jobs and, you know, living in places where they can't necessarily, as a large community, socially distance the same way. So you have a community that already feels like it's being attacked at this, by this virus at a different level. You have everybody bottled up and everybody's feeling like they're in an awkward spot and everybody feels like they're not in their normal. And then you have this on top of it. And I think it's been in many ways emotionally the straw that's broken the camel's back for a community that feels like it's been turned on, but also even for people that are just, you know, sitting around saying, okay, how am I supposed to react to this? We're very emotional right now because of everything going on in the world. And I, you know, sometimes I look at that as a good thing. You know, you can look at the emotion of it, and maybe it's finally just a breaking point in communication where everybody seems more receptive to it. But if that's the case, then this could be the best thing that ever came out of a pandemic. If we can learn how to have these conversations to get better at this area, like we come out of it better as a country. We just have to be open to that.
I do think that the this point in time in particular, you know, Jason and I talked about this, you know, last week. It's June 1st, which presumably would mean the NBA Finals, you know, would be, you know, cranking up or about to. So, you know, our attention spans would be, you know, probably at least divided or distracted. And I think now, because of everything that's going on, sports are canceled, like you mentioned. There's a pandemic. We have more bandwidth, so to speak, to pay attention to these issues that really do matter. And I think that's actually a really good thing the way it broke. Now, in terms of sports' role in all of this, because I do think there is a role for sports to play in this, you see even Nick Saban, right? Even Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan is not, we know, he's not been a guy that likes to delve into political issues to the point of frustration at times. He released a statement last night. Nick Saban released a statement over the weekend. What is sports' role in this to you, Fitz, in terms of, you know, societal change and what they can do and the kind of impact they can have?
Well, I think it's not only sports' roles, but also fans' role. I mean, you bet your butt. Everybody knows I'm a Raiders fan. You bet your butt. I read that Raiders statement that Mark Davis last night issued, and I read it, you know, before I opened it to read it. I was nervous about it because what I don't want is some blanket statement from the owner of the team that I'm the biggest fan of that doesn't say anything or that doesn't support what's going on. So I think that where sports can have a role is, A, it keeps the conversation going. B, we've already learned that sports offer an opportunity for diverse voices to be having this conversation. And, you know, I was talking to L. Duncan about this a couple of days ago, and L. even mentioned, you know, these conversations will be the best when what you have is a group of white people having them, not just, okay, we're gonna defer now to all of our black colleagues to have these tough conversations. So I think sports offers that opportunity of a larger, diverse audience is going to hear about it and going to be forced to at least listen to some of it. And then as fans, we're going to be watching how our teams react to it to make a real, you know, decision on what we're willing to support and what we're not willing to support. So, you know, that's part of where it comes together. I mean, sports in and of themselves are a meritocracy. And you know, I love that phrase in general because it makes me sound smarter than I am. But I always said the same thing in music. You know, music is rarely about what you like. When you're just auditioning for a gig, it's rarely about what race you are, what, you know, any of that. It comes down to, can you play, right? And same in sports. It's can you play? And game respects game. So I think sports has a better opportunity because they're already, at least in theory, better diversified and more understanding. I think they have the opportunity to sort of show everybody how it can be done and how it should be done. So there's a lot of live by example in that sense. And, you know, and if anything, it's really awoken me in the last few days too, to just the general concept of stick to sports that so many people ask our athletes to do. And it's like, why? I mean, if you don't want to hear what they have to say, then don't follow them otherwise. But just because somebody's good at something doesn't mean they're not allowed to talk about something else. So I think the audience that sports have is part of what's going to heal.
What do you think of the NFL statement on Saturday, and particularly in light of, you know, you look at Kaepernick in that situation, and particularly, you know, with this line, the protesters' reaction to these incidents, it was from Goodell, reflect the pain, anger, and frustration that so many of us feel. And I just think for so many people, that statement rung so hollow. I've seen fits. I've had people, you know, Facebook us and say, look, I'm looking at the Kaepernick situation completely different. But do you think we've changed for the better on that, where a guy was completely ostracized and now we're looking back and saying, oh, well, he was right. Can we change fits from that feeling?
And that is a great question, because I think honestly what happened on the Kaepernick situation at this point today is that people are so dug in on the Kaepernick situation, they'd have to be willing to come out and admit that they were wrong mm-hmm. about it. And that's something I just don't know if society's willing to do, you know? And so you start to look at maybe the message, and if anything right now, if you look at the message that Colin Kaepernick was trying to get out, this should be a time where people have a better understanding to that message. The reason the NFL's statement feels so fraudulent is it doesn't really come out and say anything in a league that has had this issue constantly. And it's like, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. The NFL seems to not care about it. And, you know, largely I think that's because so many NFL fans don't seem to make this a priority, but their players do. So to me, the NFL would have been much better suited to come out with a statement that actually talked about some of what they're going to do to keep these conversations going and how they feel they can help benefit and make a difference. And instead, they basically came out with a statement that said, don't know what we're going to do. Things really need to get better. And boy, this is a shame, right? And so that just, it just feels hollow. You know, the same statement coming out from the NBA would have resonated better than it had from the NFL, simply because we know the NBA, we know what the NBA is about. And at this point, we know what the NFL is about too.
Yeah, we are, of course, talking to Jason Fitz. He joins us every single Monday here on the show. Listen to him, except for today, on First Take Your Take. The NBA is coming back eventually. July 31st, it sounds like, is the date they have targeted to resume the season. Obviously, there is such a thing as you cannot be too careful, you know, when it comes to things like this. But is there any part of you, I mean, the Premier League, for example, in the UK, in England, which, you know, got hit harder per capita by COVID-19 than did the United States, they are coming back in a matter of 2 weeks, not, you know, months. Is the NBA... Is this why we're getting here and why it's taking this long, and is that frustrating? What do you make of sort of the NBA's much slower approach to, you know, the resumption of their season?
Well, I think part of that for the NBA has come back to the fact that, I'll go back to what Tim Bontemps said to me a while back on the show, that the NBA and the NBA Players Association have been doing this together lockstep every single step of the way. So when we get our official word from the NBA, the official statement, it's essentially are going to be agreed upon by the Players Association. Mm-hmm. So one reason I think it's taken a little longer is, unlike the NHL, which, for example, comes out and says, hey, Players Association is good with these dates, but we're not really sure how we're going to test or what we're going to do. There's a lot to still figure out. But here's what we're looking at. You know, the NBA is going to come out with a fully formed plan. So I think there's just been a little bit more caution. And then the other thing that makes everything difficult here is, what do you do in a world where you have competitive balance and you want to try and figure it out in a way that is fair and equitable to everybody, but every municipality can handle COVID-19 differently. So I think the set of circumstances here have made it particularly difficult, you know, to figure out. Now, that being said, you know, the entirety of the conversation in soccer in Europe has been about money too, because, you know, for the love of God, they do relegation over there. So can you imagine coming back and suddenly you come back, your guys aren't in shape and you end up being relegated to a different league and losing millions of dollars, right? So there are difficulties all over the world, but I think the NBA has been so slow because they intend to be very calculated in their final decision, and it will come out and be, from everything I've heard, from the time that they announce what their plan is to the time that it gets fully approved, will be a blink of an eye and we'll be ready to go. So I think it's a large part of it.
Hey, baseball can't afford to mess this up, right, Fitzy?
Baseball has already messed
this
up. In
the state,
guys,
that it's
and,
in?
You know, I just don't understand what they're thinking. And, you know, this is just, you've got two sides of it that continue to have this very public argument, and it's only about money. And that's a, you know, it's honestly a shame, because if you read the actual document that Major League Baseball proposed, some of the changes that they're insisting on, like you can't even throw the ball around to other people in between batters. Like we're asking baseball players, who are creatures of routine, to completely change everything they do about their routine. So I think there should have been some real and valid conversations about how safe it is and what the real thought is about it and how attainable this document is. But instead, it's become wholly about money. And I genuinely believe that if Major League Baseball can't work this out monetarily, if they can't find a happy medium, and, you know, every insider I talk to is totally different. Jesse Rogers joined me last week. He said he thinks we have baseball by 4th of July, but Buster Olney joined me on Friday, said he's not really positive that we're going to get baseball at all this year. And if we don't, and it's because of money, generations of fans will never forgive Major League Baseball for turning their back because of money on a country that needed them so much.
I mean, don't you think this is just ass backwards? I mean, a sport that is so obviously losing its footing in the American sports conscious, right? A sport that is so clearly, you know, really devoid of that young fan, you know, like there's no next generation. Like, don't you think the approach should be, let's beat everybody back so we can show everybody what, when all the world will be watching us, all the eyes will be on us, let's show the world what our product is and how great it is. Shouldn't that be the approach instead of the one they're taking now, which seems like, you know, just greed?
Yeah, 1,000%. I mean, that's what UFC figured out. That's what NASCAR figured out. I think that's why hockey announced their plan so quickly, just to get ahead of the NBA. I think everybody else has figured that out. And for Major League Baseball, it feels like you're watching a bad reality show where the players are convinced they can make the owners look bad, and the owners are convinced they can make the players look bad. And in the meantime, they've all forgotten that all they're doing is making everybody in the room look awful. And that's the weirdest part about it to me. It's like watching The Real Housewives of Orange County and trying to figure out how these women don't understand that they all look terrible in these scenes. And that's what this is at this point.
Yeah.
Hey, Fitz, you're the best, man.
Well said, Fitzy.
Thank you,
appreciate you, man, for
coming on and sharing your insights with us every single week, man. Appreciate it.
I appreciate y'all. I know I say stay safe every single week, but more importantly this week, stay open, Memphis. Let's keep having tough conversations. We're going to get through this together.
Absolutely.
Sounds
man.
Good,
well
Fitz.
Said. Thank you, Fitz.
Thank you, man.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
Yep. Too. Is Jason Fitz, host of First Take Your Take with Jason Fitz.
Stephen A. Smith today.
Which is important.
It is.
You know, I think you have to empower people during this time, and you have to, you know, those with something to say, they need to be handed a megaphone, you know, especially during these times. But just to kind of go back to the baseball conversation really quickly, like,
continuing to show how out of touch they are. Particularly when you add on what we've seen these past few days, just with what
absolutely.
Our country's going
through. Like, I think there is a more than decent chance that if baseball was on tonight, you know, or next week, that me, and you know how little a damn I give about baseball, I would probably tune in just to, like, see what's up, you know? Just to, like, you know, I ain't got nothing else to do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
and I think if I'm willing to do it, then a lot of other people who are, you know, a little bit more, you know, interested than I am would certainly do it.
And I just think they're blowing this opportunity. And you know, I don't know how you recover from
that. It's a sport already struggling, to your point, to add new fans. And I don't see any way how you do that. That's the point. Continuing to show how out of touch you are doesn't get you closer to getting it back to a point where we think it's a, you know, it's part of the fabric again. Look, I know it's part of the fabric for a lot of folks.
Right.
It is not, you know, for many parts of this country, it has fallen.
You just look terrible when every other league has announced some form of what they're going to do. You know, I mean, it'd be one thing if everybody else was still undecided about what they're going to do, but everybody across the globe has a plan at least.
No, I like the way Fitz put it. It's like a bad soap opera for both sides trying to make each other look worse.
And what's sad about it, man, is that you, who is a huge Cubs fan, less so over the last few years because
since
you're a little bit of a bad, little bit of a bandwagon. Maybe one could argue.
Once you get it,
one could argue.
Complacent.
But I remembered, you know, very vividly that you said on this radio show they're going to win three in a row.
Well, that was on what was that old Wild segment?
WTF.
Yeah.
WTF.
Where you were supposed to say Wild stuff.
Yeah, but
didn't happen.
Yeah, it didn't happen. And what also happened that you didn't think would happen is you stopped caring, and that's bad. That's the fact that you're not up here every day pounding the table saying where is baseball is disturbing to me.
It's fallen off, man.
You know,
it continues to run the risk of falling further off.
You took the family to Wrigley. You know, you used to watch baseball.
I don't even do those trips anymore.
You don't do them, and nor will you ever again.
I wouldn't count as
because you're so disgusted.
Oh, I mean, Wrigley Field's something, but again, we feel so far from that right now.
Yeah.
It does feel silly thinking about those trips. They were fun then.
It may be sooner than you think. I mean, it's not going to be like 2035, bro. You're going to be able to go back to Wrigley before then.
Yeah. No, I'll be able to go back. It's just,
all I'm saying,
what are you
is,
doing baseball? I'm a little bit heartbroken over what's going on here.
Yeah, it's
a little bit greedy, particularly when you look at it through the magnifying glass of what we're going through right now.
Yeah.
And it just seems... My gosh, where is the plan? Stop bickering.
Yeah, man.
Do something for your country.
Let's
rather
hear
than
me. I mean,
do something for your pockets.
Me and you just need to mediate for, I think, all these leagues. I think we can accomplish quite a bit when, you know, me and you can get in the room. So, anyway, thanks to Fitz for joining us on the
Appreciate
show
him.
Today. Van Lathan going to join us from the Ringer at 125. We'll talk to him. He's there in L.A., so he's seeing the L.A. side of it. And we'll get his thoughts just on everything. Van is a very thoughtful guy. So we'll talk to him coming up. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Frontier Western Store is open and ready to serve you for all your needs in boots, apparel, pet food, and more. Frontier is proud to be a local leader here in the Mid-South when it comes to boots. Stop by the store today for an incredible selection of name brand work and dress boots. Come browse aisles and aisles of top quality boots at everyday low prices in their world-famous boot showroom. Dan Post, Rocky, Durango, Twisted X, Georgia, Ariat, and many more. There's so many styles, colors, and fits available, you might need a hand picking out your favorites. Luckily, Frontier's knowledgeable sales staff will cheerfully assist you with any questions you have and ensure the proper fit of your new boots. Frontier also has an amazing selection of jeans and shirts by Wrangler, Ariat, and Carhartt, as well as a fully stocked women's boutique department with thousands of tops and dresses at unbelievable prices. New arrivals often. Frontier Western Store, 5880 Goodman Road in Olive Branch, and on the web at frontierwesternstore.com. Family owned and operated since 1967.
Recent weather taking a toll on your roof? A-Team Roofing has you covered, literally, with their 24-hour tarp service to stop further damage.
I pity the fool that doesn't check out our online reviews.
A-TeamRoofers.com.
I've always wanted to learn another language, but every time I try, it never sticks. So I decided to give Babbel a try, and I really like the teaching method of the app. I started with the beginner lesson on Babbel, and it starts with simple words and phrases. And soon, you're putting those words into a conversation. Each lesson takes about 10 to 15 minutes, and they're all really different, which keeps things interesting. The app is really smart. It actually keeps track of the words I'm struggling with, so I can practice them and get better. I chose Babbel because it was created by real language teachers. They built it around real life, how people actually communicate, and what they care about. I can't wait to use my new language skills in the real world. Dos cervezas, por favor.
With Babbel, get conversational in Spanish, French, German, and more. It just takes 10 to 15 minutes a day. Now try Babbel free. Just go to Babbel.com or download the Babbel app and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com, B-A-B-B-E-L.com.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness, this is the Jason and John Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Memphis group, couldn't we all use a little more of that? Living, loving. That's what they do at the Live Love Memphis group at RE/MAX Experts. When you're looking to buy or sell a home, you're on that search for your dream home, they're here to help. They're here to make that process for you as simple as possible. That's what they did for Jason, what they did for KT, what they did for Steve. Listen, it's very simple. Inspections happening, closings happening. It can be a daunting process, especially through these times, not with the Live Love at Memphis group. They want to help you. So if you're starting that journey, enlist them to go on it with you. Email them, info@livelovememphis.com.
Forever grateful will be for what Live Love did for me. And this is somebody I've personally worked with, Jennifer Carstensen and her team. Wouldn't be telling you any lies on that. It went so smooth, and I thought, no way. Right, I got a home that nobody will be able to sell. I told you guys that before. Thought I'd be in it forever. Jennifer and her team took it. 6 days, got that thing sold, had multiple offers, and made a fool out of me when it came to that. This was an occasion where it was okay for me to be a fool. I was happy they made a fool out of me. They'll do it for you. Get that home sold. Most importantly, 685-6000. Again, 685-6000. You can ask for Jennifer Carstensen or anyone on that hard-working Live Love team. April Darnell will help you, too. Like John said, for me, for Kantar, for Lewis, and so many others. They've gotten the job done. They've got it done quickly. Very simple process. They'll keep it simple for you. If you've been you've had a home that's been on the market for months or, God forbid, longer than that, you're with the wrong group, get with the right ones. The Live Love Memphis group at RE/MAX Experts. They're at livelovememphis.com.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Jason, I would ask you, you remember COVID?
Yes, I remember.
Oh, man, that was a crazy month, wasn't it? That was nuts.
I'll tell you one thing I did notice, though. You tell me if you noticed the same thing. Watching some of those protests in New York, they all got masks on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm almost to a man, to a woman, they did. And I just, how much of that is obviously, you know, how much different it was up there for them.
Yep.
They understand.
They got hit hard.
They got waylaid. And, so they get it, and even in the protests, man, you'd see just about everyone with a mask. Even heard here in some of the Memphis protests that masks were handed around.
Yep.
You know, and so the numbers are still improving, right? We're finding out that through antibodies testing that more people nationwide have had this thing, and it hadn't even sent them to the hospital. In some cases, you don't even have symptoms; just goes right. I get all that. But I'm not going to lie to you, man, you're over 100,000 now gone from this. And I realize most of them having lived, right, what we'd all hope for, which is a life, man, where there's plenty of experience and, you know, all of that. You've had a family, you've had some chance to live, right? It's affecting those folks obviously more so than young folks. I get that. But I'm watching a story this weekend about a 32-year-old father of two, got a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, who's crying with his wife right before he's passing away about, you know, not having done everything he wants to, which is number one at the top of that list is raise his kids. And so I'm with you, John, that I'm encouraged by where we're at with this thing. You'd be even more encouraged when we get to a vaccine. But I am not in the I do not want to dismiss, you know, anything about this thing in terms of the deadliness of it. Again, for certain, you know, factions of our population, including, as I've said, disproportionately African Americans, You know, we got pre-existing conditions, John. Obesity, high blood pressure, all of that. So you cannot dismiss and just say this thing's a nursing home, something that just they have to worry about. That said, yeah, man, I'm hoping those numbers don't go up much more. We're still seeing death. We're still seeing death. But we're also finding out, John, that, you know, this thing goes through a lot of us, and, you know, we're no worse for it.
Yeah.
In a lot of places, you hope that continues. You can't stop. It ain't time to stop wearing a mask.
No. So let me read you this report from Reuters in Rome. Italy was among you think about this, the countries that got hit the hardest. It was United States and Italy. Well,
partly, a lot because of the reaction.
And Italy probably, when you sort of break it down, you know, per capita, probably got hit harder than the United States. Other countries got hit harder than the United States per capita, but there's no denying that the United States is among the hardest hit. According to a top Italian doctor.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.